Well, praise the Lord. It's been quite a ride, hasn't it? But I'm glad the Lord's on the throne. I'm glad His strength is made perfect in weakness, because I got boatloads of that. But I know I'm not the only one. But the Lord is faithful, and I just praise Him. Oh well, they're going to have to take that wrinkle out of my coat some way. Praise the Lord. Well, it's interesting time we've been through, but I believe the Lord's absolutely ruled and overruled. I know He's had His way in everything. But one thing, I know that many of you could probably testify to the same thing, that as we've gone through, whether you've been sick or a family member's been sick or have been other circumstances, that there have been many times when the Lord has spoken and quickened some passage of Scripture, some verse to you in the middle of it, and it's been a strength. And absolutely, that's been the case with me and with Sue. You know, we're maybe 50% back, I don't know, but the Lord knows where we're at, and we're hanging in there, and the Lord is good. And it's sure good to see everybody. Anyway, I just wanted to share some simple thoughts. I don't know how long I'll be up here, but Scriptures that we know are often the ones that we need the most. And sometimes I think we can react and think, oh, I've heard that a million times. But the thing is, we need to hear what God says when it is relevant to our circumstances. Not just a matter of having a head full of Bible knowledge. We need the Lord in very personal, very real ways. And several Scriptures that have been quickened to me repeatedly. And one of them, certainly everybody has probably thought of this one at one time, is Romans 8:28. You know, where it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." Now, there's so much rich truth in that, you can't really exhaust it, but things that have been quickened in a special way, one of them is the word "know." What do you think He means by that? Is this the kind of knowledge you can get by reading a book or hearing a sermon? See, there's only one way to acquire the kind of knowledge that He's really talking about here, and that is by experience, by having to go through something and experiencing God's goodness in very practical ways. There is a knowledge you gain by that you cannot gain any other way. And so I see the Lord's goodness in allowing these all things He's talking about, allowing them to come into our lives and then turning our hearts to Him, speaking to us. I just pray that God will give us better ears to hear. We will be more ready to listen and ready to open our hearts and say, "Lord, I know You got this. I know You're on the throne. I know that there is a reason, there is a loving purpose behind this place that I'm in." You know, I was thinking about the all things, and we tend to trot this verse out when something happens that we consider to be bad and unpleasant to us. But the truth is, everything God uses. You know, sometimes He lets us go through an easy place, and it's to see whether we're going to go to sleep and be careless, because we need to learn that kind of a lesson as well. And so it really, what all things means all things, not just all bad things, as we measure them. But you know, I was thinking about how God allows things in our lives. It's not like God is literally just manipulating every little thing that happens, but He sure does allow stuff, doesn't He? Many times He allows us, and I know everybody here, if you're honest, can testify to this, He allows us to experience the consequences of our own choices. And they aren't always good choices. But isn't it wonderful that God can even take those things and turn them around into spiritual growth if we'll just listen and give Him our hearts? These are such simple things, but they are so basic to what the Lord is doing. And so I praise Him for knowledge, but I praise Him for the increase in knowledge, because we don't know much. We're in the process of being changed, aren't we? And that change happens, how did Paul say in another place? He said it happens by the renewing of our mind. And the problem is we come into this world and just even growing up, even if we grow up in church, there's so much of our thinking that is geared to this world. We see things through the eyes of the world. We see the things that are valued by the world, things that are important, earthly security, earthly welfare of every sort. The list goes on and on, and that's the way we see ourselves, and we see others, and we see our place in the world and everything. It's just kind of a comprehensive, well, we call it a worldview. Frankly, our worldview needs to change, and that is not something that happens with a push-button experience, doesn't happen with a series of lectures. It happens in life. As life happens, God uses everything we experience in order to change us. How many here need to be changed? Yeah, how many have learned in the last few weeks that there are changes that you thought you had and God needed to do something more than you realized? Aren't you glad He's in charge and He knows? Praise God. We got an awesome God. And all that He does is not for our hurt. It's not for anything other than His purpose. And that was another thing that really continually came back to me. That when whatever God allows in our lives is to serve His purpose. And our problem much of the time is that we have our purposes. We have things that we seek. We have things that we value in life, and that has nothing whatever to do with God's purpose. God's purpose is not to fix the world. It's not to give us a pleasant little cozy nest in this world where everything goes the way we would like it to. His purpose is expressed, of course, in the next verse. And it says, for those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He, the Son, might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. What a picture that is. How many of you just like Jesus right now? I don't see any hands, and I certainly couldn't raise mine. I see every single day, I see areas where God is at work and needs to work. And I feel my need, and that's a good place to be. Isn't it wonderful to actually understand in some measure that truth? It enables us to surrender to His purpose. You know, I was talking about the all things, and one of the things that should be obvious to us if you've known the Lord any length of time, oftentimes the Lord allows the devil to do stuff, to have his way up to a point. Thank God, God has His hand on that. But the Lord stands back and allows the devil to do stuff and then turns it around and uses it for our good. Think about Peter, the obvious examples we've had in Scripture of Peter had to go through what he went through. But when he did, he came out of it strong. He came out of it with a faith in Christ. He came out of it knowing that you can be at your worst and He will still love you and pick you up and forgive you and receive you. What an incredible lesson. It was just a few weeks later, that same man was able to stand up in the power of the Spirit and proclaim the gospel on the day of Pentecost. Folks, it doesn't matter what the Lord allows the devil to do in our lives and how badly we fall in the mud. If we will lift up our hearts to Him and put our confidence in Him, He has a way of turning that around and absolutely allowing us to grow and become stronger as a result of that. I thank God. How many need this? Yeah, how many of you have fallen in the mud and you've wondered, when things happen, how the devil has a way of interpreting all those things that happen. What did you do to deserve this? Is God mad at you? Is God upset with you? What did you do? You made a bad choice and now you're reaping and God's just standing back there waiting for you to get it right. God's waiting for you to get things right, and then he'll come back. Oh, my God. What an awesome God we have that is right there. But oh, how desperately do we need to absolutely go through real stuff of every kind, whether it has to do with failure or pain or time or whatever it has to do with. There is no substitute for going through something and experiencing what God is talking about in this scripture. Folks, if we're going to grow up, if we're going to become like Jesus, we're going to have to go through things that we don't want to go through. And I praise him because it's his purpose. You know, who's he talking about in this scripture? He says, those who love God. Folks, there's not a human being on the planet that naturally loves God. It's not in human nature to love God. You can be religious, but I mean in terms of having the power to truly love God as he's talking about here, that's supernatural. And doesn't he go on and talk about those he's called according to his purpose? You know, we had a message on this a long time back. I don't remember when, but by invitation only. Do you know the kingdom of God is by invitation only? People don't just decide, I'm going to serve God. God has to be actively at work, convicting and calling somebody to repent. You remember what Peter said on the day of Pentecost when they said, what are we going to do? You know, they were convicted about their sinfulness and their rejection of the Lord that had been sent to them. And Peter said, repent. That is a 180. That is a renunciation of everything that we have stood for, our sins, our ways, our earthly life. It is a willingness to be baptized, which is laying that life down. It is willfully, willingly giving up that which we cannot keep in order to gain a life that we cannot lose. And the promise of God to everyone who responds in true, humble repentance and faith to that call is the forgiveness of sins, to be absolutely right with a holy God, and to have him come and impart his own life into us. Praise God, that's what this is about. Then the work of transformation has a foundation. It isn't, here's a list of things I want you to do, work at it. This is absolutely a supernatural thing. But you know what, the problem is we don't always understand. This knowledge he's talking about is something that only comes over time. And I would guarantee I'm not the only one that has come through some of the things we're just going through still, trying to get strength back. But these things have roused in us a sense of, oh God, I thought I had this, you know, I thought I had this, and I'm running into this, and I'm running into that feeling, and wanting to go this way, wanting to give in to self-pity, wanting to, you know, put forth an effort, and then I'm tired. And Paul says, be not weary in well-doing. Praise God. Do we need the Lord? Yeah, we need the Lord, don't we? We don't have what it takes, but he is so utterly faithful and committed. What an amazing, simple scripture that we have heard so many times. Praise the Lord. And we know, do you know this? That in all things, even when God lets the devil work, like he did with Paul, that remember when Paul was doing good, doing everything he knew to do, there was no particular wrong or sinful thing that God was trying to correct in Paul. God saw a need in Paul. How easy is it for us to be prideful when we experience the good things of God and it's like he is shining his light on us and aren't we wonderful? And God wants us to never lose sight of the fact that we are objects of his love and mercy. That he never gives us something because we have earned it and we deserve it and we should be lifted up in our own thinking. And so God sent allowed a demon to go and harass Paul, and Paul prayed and couldn't get rid of it. That was one of those all things. Paul was concerned about that. He wondered, God, I don't get this. Something we've talked about many, many times. Until finally the Lord gave him the knowledge that he needed. And he shared that with us. He said, Paul, I got to give you a lesson here. Your pride was kind of in danger of getting in the way. But I want you to understand something. I know you feel weak right now. Anybody here feel weak? Yeah. I know you feel weak. But I want you to understand that when you're weak, you're strong. Why? Because you're consciously depending on me and my strength is inexhaustible. Praise God. That's one of the things that God wants to teach us. It's so easy, theoretically, to talk about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Okay, how does that affect me in my everyday life? What difference does that make? See, that's what the Lord wants us to get in deeper and deeper ways. And I can testify that the Lord has come in many ways, and I've been in spots where I've tended to give in, I've tended to feel bad, and the devil's talking, and why, and when's this gonna be over, and of course, who knows? But I'll tell you, God is so faithful. Let's give a word of testimony. This might be a good thing to have this morning. I shared this with the fellows the other night, but I kind of reached a low point, and I think it had to do with energy production coming from here. I just didn't have any. And I felt so weak on Labor Day that in the evening, I didn't feel like I could get through the night. I didn't know. I had to have some help. I had to have some answers. And so I took my first and I hope only ambulance ride because I didn't want to sit in the waiting room. But I experienced something that I can take absolutely zero credit for. And that was the peace that passes all understanding. Truthfully, I didn't know what was going to happen. I even made the mistake of commenting to Sue before I left. I said, this is the Lord's time. He's going to take me home. Who knows? That didn't help her through the evening. When I was in perfect peace and she was at home not knowing what was going on. Bless her heart. I shouldn't have said that, but I honestly felt that. I mean, that's supernatural. If you can be in a place where you think there is a real possibility, I might die. Maybe this is the Lord's time. And to feel total peace. It's okay. If that's what your will is, I'm good with it. That didn't come from me, I guarantee it. And so I just kind of relaxed in the hands of the people who were doing whatever they were doing. And the Lord answered the need, gave me an IV infusion, which was enough to kind of get me over the hump a little bit. And just one little notation the doctor made in the report kind of put me on the track of where I needed to go. And so, a couple days later, I think my fevers were even gone. So I praise the Lord. My strength is nowhere near back, but we're on track, and the Lord knows what he's doing. But what an experience. I mean, it's wonderful to read about how we can not be anxious and take our petitions to the Lord, and the peace that passes understanding will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a glorious theory that is. Oh, how nice it is to quote that. But to experience it at that time, and to know that it's real. Folks, that's the confidence God wants to give every one of his children, regardless of the circumstances. I mean, how could Paul talk about to live is Christ and to die is gain and have, it's just like, this is the way it is. If it's my time to die, I'm good with that. How many could honestly say that? It takes grace. I know I'm not the only one who's ever experienced this, but if we really see our lives and our lives in this world through his eyes and his purpose, not ours, you can have that. I mean, you look at the three Hebrew children in the Old Testament and how they were able, not knowing how it was going to turn out, to say, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not bound to your image. The God we serve is able to save us, but if he doesn't, we're still not bowing. See, at that point, they didn't know. As far as they were concerned, they could just be tossed in there and burn up. And yet there was a humble submission into the hands of a loving Heavenly Father. Is that a place that we need to be able to be brought to? Yeah. How do you get there? We're going to have to let the Lord take us in His time and His way. He will use all things in our lives if we will tune in and say, Lord, I want Your purpose and not mine. Help me to grow in this area. Help me where there are areas of self-will, self-reliance, self-whatever it is. Lord, shine the light and bring me through the circumstances that will set me free from the dominion of those things. I'll tell you, there's not any peace when we're struggling to have our own way. If God's working on, faithfully working in His purpose, and we got ours, and oh God, why this? You know, didn't Jesus say, take my yoke upon you and learn from me? There's a place where God wants us to be in such harmony, such oneness with Him and His purpose, that we can have a peace, we can have the spiritual resources that we need and everybody needs them, because we don't have what it takes. There's not a person here who has what it takes to serve God. Not one. It's all supernatural. But oh, how much the Lord longs to share with us. And many times what it takes for Him to bring us to that place is, you know, the kinds of difficulties we've experienced. Praise the Lord. I tell you, the Lord is good, isn't He? But anyway, I don't know how much further I want to go with this particular scripture. There are a couple of others, but again, I don't think I'm going to be up here my usual amount of time. But anyway, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, I'm not going to get into a long discussion about, you know, God's sovereignty and man's will, but I'll tell you, we have a choice to make when God calls, when God deals with a heart, and God knows those who will surrender. But what a picture is painted here. Because when we're in the middle of something, it's awful easy for the devil to sow all kinds of questions and doubts and sense of weakness, sense of need, all the things that would militate, that would fight against our restful confidence in God's love and His purpose. But listen to the language that we've used so many times. And those He predestined. Oh yeah, for those God foreknew, He also predestined. See, there's a sense that I'm going to take charge and I've got a purpose that's going to work out and it will happen. There's not a devil in hell that can stop what I have purposed. When somebody commits their life into my hands, it is in a safe place. I will bring them to that place where one day they will walk in a brand new world and Jesus will walk among us as our elder brother. What an incredible picture. Praise God. And the certainty that God is communicating in this scripture. If God predestined something, is there anybody that can say, no, you can't do that? No. And those, in verse 30, He predestined. He also called. Those He called, He also justified. And that's a simple word that means He makes you righteous in God's eyes. Takes away all, just removes sin from the equation. Praise God. Those He justified, He also glorified. What a way to put that, to say something like that that hasn't happened yet as though it has happened. That's the certainty God wants His children to have once they surrender their lives into His hands and He comes in to stay and to seal the heart. Folks, we have every reason, no matter what we experience, COVID or otherwise, to just say, Lord, I'm in Your hands. My life is in Your hands. We sing the song. What a blessed place that is. And I feel like many of the things that we have experienced in these last few weeks have been to move us along in that direction. You know, God knows what's ahead. We've said it many times. We've had it easy here in America. He talks later in this passage about, you know, persecution and famine and nakedness and peril and sword and a whole lot of things that are worse than any of us have ever experienced. And I'll tell you, we've got a God who will bring His people through and will be with us. But the only way to get there is to experience Him in real things where we can look back and say, you know, that was tough, but God was with me. In the darkest time, He spoke His word to my heart, gave me the strength to believe it, and it carried me through. It brought me through that dark time, and I am better for it, and God has given me a real living experience of His faithfulness. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to move from this scripture just for a moment to another one that we read periodically that we really love, and that's in James, the beginning of James. But I had this come to me I don't know how many different times, and I'll read it in this NIV translation, but that's not how it came to me because I grew up with the King James. But consider, verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, of course, we don't consider it pure joy, but the Lord wants us to see it. If we can see it through His eyes, see it through His heart, and really believe that it is His heart toward us, doesn't that make a difference? My God, can't we say, thank you, Lord. I know where this is headed. I'm just anticipating that, and your strength is with me right now to help me through this. All right, why are we able to do that? Because you know. Here's, again, is something we know, and this is the kind of knowledge, again, that is cumulative. You go through something, you gain some knowledge. It's more than just theory. Then you go through something else, and you go through something else, and knowledge increases. And God wants us to come to the place where we could have the knowledge that would enable us to say, praise God, in the midst of something that wouldn't naturally bring forth that response. You know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, this kept coming to me over and over through these last few weeks, and it was King James language, let patience have her perfect work. And patience and perseverance are two senses of the meaning of the original, because it conveys perseverance as in not giving up, continuing to put forth an effort to resist. But it also conveys the idea of time, that this is not a push-button deal. That this is going to take some time in order to accomplish what has to be accomplished. You know, and the obvious example that we've used many times is, suppose you wanted to be a weightlifter. And you read every book that you could about weightlifting. You understood the science of it. You looked at videos. You went to seminars. Will any of that make you a weightlifter? No, weightlifting, the very essence of weightlifting is exerting your strength against resistance. There simply is no way for muscles to grow and to become stronger unless they are literally exercised against resistance. And if they're going to grow really strong, the resistance is going to have to get stronger, isn't it? I mean, that's what weightlifting is all about. How much can I lift? Is it any different in spiritual matters? We'd like it to be. Every one of us would probably like to come to a place where we could come down to an altar, have someone lay their hands on your head, and just put in there whatever it is you need. But it doesn't work that way, and the Lord has used this particular period in a unique way to cause us to have to face things. And patience is that word that kept coming to me. This is something that's going to take time. You need to stand in your spirit against this thing. You need to have a constant confidence and trust in me. But you need to, the devil's going to be talking to you. The devil been talking to anybody? Yeah. But there needs to be a stand that you take in your spirit when the devil starts saying, you know, this is the time for self-pity. This is time for self-indulgence because of your self-pity. You deserve that. Nobody ever experiences anything like that, I know. But whatever it is that would cause us to draw back or let go or be tired or give in to something when it comes to the simple stand of faith and saying, no, God is faithful. I am trusting in Him. I will not give in. I'm going to stand in the face of whatever the devil tells me is going on. I am His, and that's the end of it. Folks, how many of you got that in you to do that? Zero. Man, we need the Lord, don't we? We need the Lord. But do you see how this dovetails with what Paul had said over in Romans 8? That there is something that God is going, I mean, we're here for a reason. Part of the reason is to let our light shine. But obviously God's purpose is to change us from people who fit in with this world to people who fit in with the one to come. And every single one of us needs a lot more change than we think we do. And so when these things are allowed by God to work in our lives, what He's looking for is simple faith that puts our trust in Him and says, God, I am one with You in this. I thank You for it. I understand what's going on. My flesh doesn't like it. My flesh gets weary. All these things that I have to battle, but Lord, I'm on Your side in this thing. I want to let this have its complete work. Lord, help me not to cut it short. Help me not to bail on You. Help me not to accuse You of doing wrong because I don't like it. All the things that the devil tries to bring about in our minds and hearts. But oh, what a faithful God we have. What a merciful God we have. You know, when you stand back from it and you're not sitting there feeling the immediate effects, doesn't it make sense to say, yes, God, I want this. I want the full deal. I don't want to stop short. I want perseverance to have its full effect. Let me go back to read this. Let perseverance finish its work. There's the time element. There's where things aren't going to be. There's no push-button solution. There's no way to get to God's goal in this thing except by submitting ourselves and trusting in Him and looking to Him and keeping on doing that, because there's a work that's happening that cannot happen any other way. How many of you want to be what the Lord wants you to be? Yeah, that's a dangerous desire, isn't it? Because it means there's a parts of us that it means we're going to have to die. And we're going to have to learn His ways and be willing to let go and let God have His wonderful way. That's what all of this is about. So over and over again, I kept having that, let patience have her perfect work. Let patience have her perfect work. And then you get up and a couple days later and you're, you know, weak and wobbly and hanging in there. Let patience have her perfect work. Over and over and over again, that scripture came, but you think maybe, just maybe, there was a good reason for that? Anybody else have the same need? Yeah, sure, we all do, don't we? Another scripture that came to me that we've heard many, many times. You know, it's not a matter of just hearing new stuff, but it's a matter of God making the old stuff real so that it becomes something that we can stand on and know it's real and just be able to stand when somebody else is struggling. Maybe to be able to help somebody who's struggling, because we've been there and we know God is faithful. We know that this scripture, that whatever scripture it is, it's real because we've experienced it in our lives. There's no substitute for that. Another scripture the Lord brought to me a number of times was in 1 Peter 5, very familiar scripture, where, you know, God, it says God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. In verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And of course, in the process of being human, we're going to be anxious about things. So he says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And I can't tell you the number of times that that scripture came to me. And again, does that not dovetail with the other things we've said? Because if God is at work in all things, he's at work, he has a purpose, he's working it out, and I'm to let perseverance, patience have its complete work so that I'll be what he wants me to be, isn't it appropriate that he says, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand? Well, that's not natural. But oh, what a peace and what a rest there is when we're just able to say, yes, Lord, whatever. I just want you. I just want your will for my heart, for my life, your purpose for my life. There's nothing else worth living for. But you know, the Lord has to let you experience stuff before you get that. If it's just theory, that's all it is. But I'm so thankful for God's goodness and everything that has happened. I think I'll just go back briefly. Well, another scripture, I'll quote a couple of scriptures. There's one in 1 Thessalonians 5, I think, that talks about, that's giving a whole lot of instructions, a whole lot of words of exhortation, I guess is the word I'm trying to reach for. And he says, in everything give thanks. That's another thing that it's a good exercise. When we're in some of these all things, and we'd rather they didn't happen, and they're not pleasant, and we're in that place where the devil is beating on us and whispering in our ears, one of the things that God calls on us to do is say, thank you, Lord, in all things. And of course, I've had people actually express this. Yeah, I'm supposed to give thanks in all things, but not for all things. Anybody ever heard that? Unfortunately, if you will go over to Ephesians chapter 5, it says specifically giving thanks for everything in Christ Jesus. See, it takes faith. You think of what Jesus went through in his life to accomplish the Father's purpose. Now, the Father's purpose in him, I mean, he was like Jesus. I mean, he was Jesus. He never sinned. But yet he had to experience all of the things that we experience. And yet facing the cross, I thank you, Father. There was this sense of praise, of thanks, of confidence, of rest, of being willing to push forward, willing to wait on God and to receive the strength even to do it, to pray for 3 hours when it was necessary. All the things he went through. And yet there was this sense, God, I know you've got this. I know what your purpose is. I want to be part of that. Come what may, Lord, whatever it costs. That's what God is seeking to bring about in our lives. And so I don't care what it is that you and I experience. That's at the heart of it. And I want to listen and I want to learn the reality of these scriptures. Because again, what carries us through things in the future is what we've already learned and what we know because we've been there and done that. And as the saying goes, we've got the T-shirt. But anyway, one point probably needs to be made, because the reality is all of these things, giving thanks, humbling ourselves, trusting him, you know, rejoicing, being glad, all these things that we're exhorted to do, again, not one of us here has the natural ability to do any of that. And so one of the deep lessons that I see the Lord trying to teach me, I hope I'm learning in a measure, is the simple reality that Every need is meant to draw me to Him because the unsearchable riches of Christ are there. Listen to what he says back in Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? See, that's one of the lessons that it's not easy for us to learn. We are by nature self-reliant. Every time we feel a need, I gotta do something. I've gotta. Instead of saying, Lord, I have no resource for this, but you have promised. Everything I need is in you. Again, going back to the unsearchable riches of Christ. Anybody here have needs that the Lord would draw your mind away from your ability and your sense of need and all your sense of self-pity, if that's there, to say, I have what you need. I know you don't have the ability to humble yourself. I can give that to you if you just ask. See, you don't have because you're not asking. And a whole lot of your asking is self-centered. And the Lord wants us to have a confidence. And you know, when we feel those needs, many times that's when the devil tries to paint a picture that would cause us to say, well, I can't go to him now. I don't deserve it. This is happening because I did something. That's a lie from the pit of hell, and God wants us to wake up and realize that. Now, if there's something that we're conscious of that we need to confess, praise God. But we got a place to go. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess our sins. There's a sense of agreement with God about it. God has made provision for that. No devil in hell can ever rightly accuse you and me of anything that would ever separate us. That's what this whole passage is about. Praise God. But do we get this? Do we really live as if this is true? Or do we just say, yay, Jesus, that's wonderful, and then go on as though it's not true? See, we're in the process, aren't we? We're in school. But the Lord is so loving and so patient with us. Thank God. But the reality is that, and this is, again, it's something that came to me many times, has come to me many times this past few weeks. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us how many things? All things. What is your need today? Is it for strength against temptation? Is it for courage? Is it for the strength to just stand in faith? Whatever it is, he is the answer. Yes. That's why he gave us the parable of the vine and the branches. Where does the vine get its ability to do anything? Gets it from the vine. Where does a branch? Anyway, you know what I'm trying to say. There's a source outside of ourselves that we need to, that God wants us to learn to tap into, to let go of self in every form, whether it's self-effort, pride, no matter what it is. We just need the Lord, and he is faithful and loving and ready to step into every life. I appreciate God's faithfulness. I appreciate the opportunity to get to know him in deeper ways. You know, we need to be able to rejoice and look at things through his eyes, don't we? I appreciate his faithfulness. I feel like that's probably all I need to try to share this morning, but you know, I don't know whether the Lord, well, this is it, or whether the Lord has something else in mind, but it may well be that there's somebody else who has a word of exhortation or encouragement or a word of testimony. And we will all experience things. So I'm just going to sit down and let's just see what the Lord has. Praise God.